Well, today we close out another day in the year 2024. Another year is behind us. A new year is in front of us. And the question is, how will we face the new year? And what changes will we see in the new year? Today's message is entitled, From Eternity Past to Eternity Future. And it's designed to be a message to help you fully better understand, more clear than you ever have before, who you are in Christ Jesus. We need the people of God to understand more fully, more clearly, who they are in Christ Jesus and how one becomes in Christ Jesus. You see, there's so much change in the wind, so much change in the wind. And you have to understand that there's a worldwide movement by the spirit of Antichrist as the spirit of Antichrist continues to try to implement all the steps going forward to a one world order. I just read an article about artificial intelligence tools, the threat of mass artificial intelligence powered government censorship is on the rise, ominous House panel report shows. This is not some off-the-wall group. This is a House panel here in our government. And they're talking about their concern about the censorship that is being initiated and carried on by artificial intelligence. But that's just one thing to be concerned about. You see, it's a worldwide move of the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist in Ireland, we have a teacher who was jailed because of his refusal to call a boy a girl. Folks, the handwriting is on the wall. The signs of the times are changing. And the body of Christ, the people of God, need to understand the signs of the times. Because it is only as we give ourselves to understanding the signs of the times that we can give ourselves to intercessory prayer. I'm not a sensationalist. I'm a biblicist. I'm not a sensationalist. I grew up in independent Baptist churches and Southern Baptist churches, and quite frankly, I just believed what I was taught, not realizing that at times there was a different approach, a different understanding of some scriptures. Of course, once I finally surrendered to the ministry, once I got into the ministry myself, and I realized my responsibility in teaching the Word of God, explaining the Word of God, and equipping the people of God as well as trying to reach those who do not yet know Christ, I had to come to grips with some doctrinal issues. I had to realize that there were other views. I had to realize there were other interpretations of Scripture. And so I did that. My position is that the church will be here during the formation of a one world order. And I am saying to you today that you are watching the incremental pieces of a one world order being put into place day after day after day. We have a world court now, don't we? A world court? You understand that it's a process. The process is a process by which the nations of the world will eventually embrace a one world order. And eventually, there will come to power in that one world order an individual that will exercise complete power and control over that one world order. That individual will be known as the Antichrist. That individual will become, if you will, Satan incarnate, according to the Word of God. When you take all the Scriptures collectively and corporately together, when you take 2 Thessalonians, Matthew 24, when you take 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, when you pull all those Scriptures together, bringing them over to Revelation, chapter 13 to start with, you have to come to the conclusion that there's no such thing as a continuance of the world as we know it today. No. The pieces are already being put in place, and let me remind you once again, I'm not a sensationalist. I'm not an alarmist. I'm just a biblicist. But I've been in the Word of God for some years now, and I had to readdress some positions I had previously been taught, and I came up the backside of all that with some changed views. I believe in a pre-wrath rapture. I believe in a pre-wrath rapture of the church, that just before the wrath of God falls on the nations of the world, which at that time will be under the control of the spirit of Antichrist, and that individual who is controlled by the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, that, my friend, is my position, unapologetically, and I defend it. I've defended it from time to time here on the station, on the radio. I will continue to defend it. I want the people of God to understand the signs of the times in which they're living. I'm not an alarmist. Again, I'm not a sensationalist. I'm just a preacher. But I want the people of God, those who really, really, truly understand the Word of God, to give themselves to repentance, holiness, and intercessory prayer on behalf of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in our nation. Folks, your world is changing. We're just closing out 2024. We're moving into 2025. And I'm here to say to you, unapologetically, your world is changing. You need to be sensitive to the changes. You need to be sensitive to what is changing. And you need to be sensitive to how it's going to affect the church, the people of God, in the nations of the world. Once again, I'm not an alarmist. I am not an alarmist. I'm not a sensationalist. I'm just a preacher. I'm just a preacher. But I want you to understand that we need prayer. We need prayer from the people of God. We need prayer from those who have access to the throne of God. We need prayer from those who are believer priests, who've been purchased by the blood of Christ. We need intercessory prayer that the Holy Spirit of God will resist and hold back the advance of the spirit of Antichrist in the nations of the world, at least for a season. We know that eventually there will be a one world order. We know that in that one world order, the church will come under intense persecution. That is why today, this day, these days, these are the days when the church should stand in the hedge, make up the gap, and intercede on behalf of the kingdom of God in this nation and the nations of the world. Now I'm going to take you to this message I preached just this past Sunday to our congregation here in Jacksonville. It's entitled, From Eternity Past to Eternity Future. If you will listen closely, as a child of God, you will be encouraged. As a child of God, you will be encouraged, greatly encouraged, if you just listen to what we preach, receive what was preached, and if you have any questions, take it before the throne of God with the Word of God. But here's the message, from eternity past to eternity future. Be blessed as you listen. New year. Brand new year. Everybody faces a certain amount of uncertainty, and you're not sure what tomorrow may hold, but we know who holds tomorrow. And that's the important thing. We don't have to know what tomorrow holds, as long as we know who holds tomorrow. Now this morning, I'm trying my best, not only for you, but for the radio congregation as well. I'm trying to affirm you. Christianity is not a game. Christianity is a life. Once you're born again, adopted into the family of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to better understand that this morning. Now, in a few moments, we'll be going to Ephesians. But before I get to Ephesians, I'm going to take you to a couple of other scriptures. Now, don't worry about
tracking me in the Bible, because I want your full attention right up here this morning. Don't try to track me right now. I'll tell you, we'll be getting to Ephesians in a few moments. But right now, my preliminary comments, I want you to key on what I'm saying to you. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 48, "Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed." As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Have you been appointed to eternal life? Have you? Those appointed were those whom God knew would believe. From eternity past, He knew. He knew who would believe. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Understand this, from eternity past, God knew who would repent, and God knew who would not repent. None who did repent were a surprise to Him. None who did not repent is not a surprise to Him. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge. Throughout all of eternity past, He had all knowledge. He still does. So nothing caught Him by surprise. In Acts chapter 19, I'm going to cover five or six verses. In Acts 19:1, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, and said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, We have not so much as heard where there be a Holy Spirit." We've never heard of the Holy Spirit. We know nothing about the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." So Paul says to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Now let's go back up to the verse before that. I don't want you to lose this. In 19:2, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Well, into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "John's baptism." We're baptized into John's baptism. Now understand what John's baptism was. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. When John was baptizing at the River Jordan, he was proclaiming the coming of. And he had people getting baptized before they understood fully that the Messiah had come. So they were baptized into John's baptism, and this was a symbolic way of expressing they knew they were sinners. They knew they were sinners. But it didn't take them far enough. John's baptism did not take them far enough. Acts 19:4. "Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance." They wanted to get right with God. They wanted to be right with God. But it wasn't a finished product yet. It just wasn't a finished thing. "Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." That was John's message. John says, "You must believe on the one that's coming after me." And that, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. In John's baptism, they acknowledged themselves to be sinners. They recognized they were sinners. And they had a baptism of repentance. They were willing to repent, wanting to repent, and as far as they were concerned, they were repenting without a clear understanding. And I am saying to you, we have that same problem in the church today. In the what we call the church, we have many sitting there in religious organizations, in religious meetings, that do not understand the significance of what it means to be born again. And baptism in faith in Christ Jesus as the Messiah. Acts 19:5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Baptism, if you will, of faith in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, the Messiah. 19:6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. How many today in churches across the nation, in religious conclaves across the nation, really do not have a firm understanding of what it means to be born again? I'm saying to you that the nation is full, and the nations of the world are full of people who really do not comprehend what it means to be born again. And because they do not understand what it means to be born again, many of them are not born again, but they're seeking. You got a world of seekers. They're seeking a relationship with God. They want to be right with God. They don't know how. And too many times they're not told what has to be done in order to do that. So we're coming now to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. We're continuing. In him also, in who? Jesus. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. Don't lose sight of this, folks. In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. On what basis were some individuals predestined to be born again? Are you saying to me that some are predestined to be born again and some are predestined not to be born again? Not at all. Not at all. The Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But folks, you got to get this down. God is omniscient. He knew before he ever created Adam and Eve. Before he created Adam and Eve, he knew every human being that ever be born. Where they would be born, when they would be born, to whom they would be born, the bloodline, he knew it all. The ancestral lineage, he knew it all. And of all the multitudes and millions of people to be born, he knew who would be born again and who would not be born again. He's omniscient. You can't take that away from him. Now we know that God is not willing that any should perish. Therefore, he did not will that any would perish. But he knew that some are going to perish. Why? Because they would not believe and they would not receive the word. They would not receive the Messiah. Ephesians 1:12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. You as a believer are to be a praise to his glory. You are to glorify him in your life, in your speech, in your attitudes, in your actions, in your reactions. Now understand this. The whole purpose of becoming Christ-like, the whole process of becoming Christ-like, is a long process. And I've told you how many times you come through different levels, about five different levels of spiritual growth in your becoming more Christ-like. And in those five different levels of spiritual growth, you're going to blow it time after time after time. Your attitude is going to be wrong. Your reaction is going to be wrong. Your response is going to be wrong. But God's not going to give up on you. Why? Because he knew before the foundation of the world who would want to be his and who would not want to be his. So he set in motion a series of lifestyle, if you will, events in your life that would help conform you to the image of Christ. That is one reason you suffer disappointment at times, discouragement at times. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that I am in the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I am in the process. So God has to allow me and has allowed me to go here, go there, do this, do that, make this mistake, that mistake. And you recall that Satan went to God and said, what about the old Job down there? And God said, well, okay, take your best shot, but you can't kill him. You can do everything short of killing him. When you read that event, God gave Satan permission to kill his kids, take his wealth, kill his cattle, strike him with sores all over his body. God gave him permission. God knew about Job. God knew Job's faith. And God knew that Job wouldn't fail. You might want to read the first three chapters of Job sometime and take a good, long, hard look at what was going on there. We come to Ephesians 1:13. In him, who? Jesus. You also trusted when? After you heard the word of truth. And that's where we're hurting today, folks. In so many religious movements, there's no truth. False religions. There's no centrality of Christ. No centrality of Christ, whatever. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now watch what happened here. Number one, you had to hear. Nobody gets saved without hearing the gospel. You had to hear the gospel. And in how many religious movements in the world today is the gospel never proclaimed? They give you a means and a way and a methodology by which you're supposed to be made right with God, but it is not the gospel. It is not the gospel. And so the word says in Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, number one, you have to hear. Number two, you have to believe. Once you've heard and you have believed, then you are sealed. You're sealed in the Holy Spirit. Now, once you're locked into the Holy Spirit, you can't get out. Nothing out of hell can get you out of the Holy Spirit. Once you believe, you heard, you believed, the word says you were sealed. Right there it is. Ephesians 1:13. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Satan can't break the seal. You can't break the seal. Nothing can break the seal. And by the way, with or without baptism. Now, you'll run across some commentaries that tell you that baptism is essential to salvation. Not so. Not so. How many in Pearl Harbor called out to Christ in their dying moments? How many in the military? How many in different walks of life, in the moment they were about to die, called out to Christ for his love, his grace, his mercy? The thief on the cross was never baptized. He just hung there. Watched the interchange, listened to the interchange, and in his heart he said, that's the Messiah. That has to be the Messiah. Nobody could go through what he's going through unless it's the Messiah. He heard him pray for those who were crucifying him. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in my kingdom. Now, one of the interesting things about that to me is that crucifixion was a horrible way to die. And sometimes you might hang there 3, 4, 5 days in the process of dying. But Jesus said to him, today, you're going to die today. You're going to die today. And the minute you die, you're going to be in glory. You're going to join me. Ephesians 1:14. Speaking of Jesus, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. Well, guess what constitutes the purchased possession? You. You, believers, those of us who believe God, believe the Word of God, believe Christ Jesus, believe that Christ Jesus was God in the flesh, that He went to the cross, He was a sacrifice for the sins of all who would believe. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, the Word of God says. There had to be a blood sacrifice. And an animal couldn't qualify. Why? Had to be sinless. Now, an animal is sinless, but doesn't have divine life. Jesus went to the cross as the Son of God, sinless, Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. The plan was put in activity before the foundation of the world. Now, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? Well, when is the purchased possession redeemed? With the last heartbeat. With the last heartbeat, the purchased possession is redeemed. You're in glory. One split second, or in the split second that you have your last heartbeat, you know Christ, you're in glory. Now, the Holy Spirit within us is our guarantee of our inheritance. Notice what that word says. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? It is the fact that you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. That guarantees you that you have an inheritance in eternity. I mean, we're talking about the last heartbeat. When the last heartbeat comes, you are going to be in the presence of Jehovah God, all the saints that have gone on before, the entire angelic chorus. You're going to be in glory, never, ever, ever again to be separated from God. No more sickness, no more disease, no more nothing. You're just going to be with Him throughout all of eternity. You see, most of the church, I'm convinced, most of the church goes through life, well, I'm not real sure. You know, I'm not real sure about this. I'm not real sure about that. This message this morning is designed to help you understand that as a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, that all hell cannot claim you. You're a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Born again, new creation, all your past sins have been forgiven. Every sin that is confessed is forgiven. If you sin, acknowledge you sin, confess the sin, and go on in joy. You see, the fact that you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit is your guarantee of your inheritance. You have an inheritance in heaven. You have an inheritance in eternity. Words cannot describe what that inheritance is like. It is beyond anything you could ever imagine. But you have an inheritance in heaven, and you are going to be a living soul throughout all of eternity in the presence of God, in the new heavens and the new earth. You are going to be a citizen of the new heavens and the new earth with no more sickness, pain, disease, injury, none of that stuff. You're going to have a total, total, wonderful existence in the presence of God in eternity. That's what salvation is all about. That's what it's all about. Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, Paul says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, not your faith in a system of religion, not your faith in a denomination, not your faith in the fact that you may have been christened as a baby, no, no, no. Therefore, also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Let that sink in. There's no place in the life of a believer for prejudice. We all got it. But you have to acknowledge it. Yes, Lord, I've got some prejudice. Yes, Lord, this is in my life. But you have to understand this, your love for all the saints. Read it again, Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I, Paul says, heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints of whatever race, whatever color, whatever nationality, We, you see, God has a family. God has a body on earth today. That family and that body is made up of every individual, regardless of their educational background, regardless of their financial status, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of what language they speak. God has a family comprised of and made up of all of those in the nations of the world who have recognized themselves to be sinners and came to Christ Jesus, claiming Him as Lord and Savior, confessing their sins, and receiving Him as Lord and Savior. We're in a big family, folks. We're in an international family, worldwide. Ephesians 1:16. Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He says, I'm praying for you constantly. You people in Ephesus, I know where you come from. I know your background. I know what you're up against. I know something of the culture. I know something of what you're up against. And so I pray for you. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He was taking these people before the throne of God in prayer. Do you do that? Do you do that? Do you take other people? We say, well, I'll take my mom or my dad. What about people you don't know? Do you ask God for a move of His Holy Spirit in the nations of the world and in those nations where the gospel has never been preached? Do you ever ask God to penetrate the darkness of those nations with the gospel? Do you have individuals that you pray asking God to penetrate the darkness? You see, God knew from eternity past who would and who would not be born again. We didn't know. You're going to be surprised some of the people you meet in heaven. That here on earth you were critical, you were judgmental, you thought, man, you're a waste. You are a waste. And you're going to be so surprised to find out that some people you thought were a waste turned out to be citizens of heaven. God gets them from every rank and every file of life. You have to understand that. 1:17, that, he goes on now, he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you. He's asking God to do this. He's asking God to give to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He wanted them to better comprehend and understand God, Christ Jesus, the whole warp and woof of the plan of salvation. He is asking God to do that. He may give to you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. He wants them to have wisdom and revelation concerning the things of God. Eternity, heaven, all of that's involved in that. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes, he's still praying, your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He's saying to God, please open the eyes of their understanding. You can pray that. You know people who are not born again. You can pray asking God to open the eyes of their understanding, being enlightened, enlighten them as to the gospel, enlighten them as to what Christ did on the cross, enlighten them as to what's available to them through Christ Jesus, enlightening them, and you may know what is the hope of His calling. Do you understand the hope of His calling? What do you think? If I were to ask you this morning, in your mind, what is the hope of His calling? What would you say? Let me tell you, it's to be conformed to Jesus. You see, He wants you every day of the world to become increasingly more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the hope of the calling. He wants you to be salt where you work and where you live. He wants you to be light where you work, where you live. Word of God says He's made us salt and light. Salt is a preservative. I fear that too many times the church has not been a preservative in the society in which we live. We've embraced too much that God has nothing to do with. So he's saying to them here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. If I were to ask you what is the hope of His calling to you, what would it be? That you may know what is the hope of his calling, you've been called to be a child of God. You've been called to be a citizen of heaven. You've been called to be a believer priest. You've been called to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been called. You have a calling on your life. You have a gifting on your life. If you've been born again, if you're a child of God, you have a call of God on your life, and you have a gifting of God on your life. The question is, do you know what the call is? Do you know what the gifts are? And are you implementing those gifts? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We are part of an inheritance for him. Did you ever think of yourself as being a part of an inheritance for God, a part of God's inheritance through what Christ did? We as believer priests, are a part of God's inheritance. We have an inheritance. He has an inheritance. And we, believer priests, are a part of his inheritance. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Oh, my word. Look at that carefully. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Do you understand that you as a believer priest are indwelt by the creative power of the universe? No, listen to me. Every believer, each of us who have been born again, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. How was the universe created? By the Holy Spirit. God said, and the Spirit, Word of God tells us that the Spirit moved. The Spirit moved. The Spirit moved. You, child of God, are indwelt by the creative power of the universe. You won't find 2 in 10 that receive that. You won't find 2 in 10 that really believe that. You won't find 2 in 10 that really practice that. You see, when you believe that, when you receive that, you no longer pray us for no more. You pray international things. You pray national things. You pray big things. We got a big God. Why not pray big prayers? Why don't you pray prayers that you know deep down in your heart the only way this prayer can be answered is if God Almighty, Jehovah God, himself gets involved and answers this prayer. And yet the history books are full of instances where even nations were at risk. But the people came together in prayer. And because they came together in prayer, God honored their prayer, and God moved, and God saved the day. Why can't we do that today? Why can't we just take God at his word? He's big God, ask big things. I'm not talking about, oh, Lord, give me a Mercedes. No, I'm talking about praying for the nations of the world, praying for this nation, praying for the body of Christ, praying for the body of Christ in the different nations of the world. Pray for discouraged Christians. Pray for those who are, just the list goes on and on and on. But too many times it's, good morning, Lord. Amen. That's not the kind of prayer we're talking about. Verse 19 again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Are you a believer? And if so, what do you believe? Do you believe the whole word of God? Do you believe that God is omniscient? That God is omnipresent? Do you believe that God knows everything there is to be known? Do you believe that? Do you pray that? Do you pray that way? Do you go before his throne understanding he knows what you're going to pray before you pray it? And he's waiting a lot of time for you to pray things he wants you to pray that you don't pray. You can pray big things. It's not just me, I and mine all the time. You can pray the nations of the world, the advancement of the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. The advancement of the kingdom of God into nations that have not yet even heard about the kingdom of God. Pray big things. That's what he's saying here. who is the exceeding greatness. Let me go back to verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Do you understand the hope of his calling on you? The hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? You have access to the power of God. You have access to the power of God. And let me tell you why so much of the church is not embracing the power of God. Because so much of the church doesn't even understand they have access to the power of God. It took me a while to understand that. Wait a minute. I have access to the power of God. I can pray down the power of God. I don't tell him what to do or how to do it, but I can intercede. I can intercede for any and everything in the world, any nation, any international events, any national events, anything that's going on in this nation. I don't care what party it is. I don't care who's in charge. I know the Word of God says he holds the world in his hand. The Word of God says those in power, those that he appointed to be in power. The church has yet to comprehend and to embrace what is available to the church through prayer. Just through prayer. But now, when I go into the presence of God, I want to make sure that my sin list is short. I confess my sins. We all have sins, but we confess our sins. You don't rush into the presence of God with sin hanging all over you and say, I'm here to talk to you. No, you take a few moments. And if you do it the right way, as you go through life day by day by day, when you recognize there has been a sin committed, right then, confess it. Lord, that was sin. My attitude, my reaction, my response, my thought, whatever it may be, just admit it. Lord, that was sin. That grieves the Holy Spirit. And I've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot afford to quench nor grieve the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I'm going to confess sin that does quench and grieve the Holy Spirit because I need prayer power. It's available to you, folks. It's available to you. Now, one of the keys to operating in prayer power is you don't have to respond to everything in life. You don't have to respond to everything in life. You don't have to criticize everything in life. Take this approach. How does God feel about my feelings? How does God feel about my response? How does God feel about my reactions? How does God feel about my speech? What I'm saying, what I'm thinking, what I'm doing. Is that blocking my prayer power? I am convinced we got people in the church who are suffering needlessly. Because if they would simply take God at his word, apply his word to their life, then pray his word, it'd make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Once again, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, your understanding, he wants you to enlightened understanding of the things of God, the word of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, the ways of God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Do you know the hope of his calling on your life? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? We are part of his inheritance. Have you understood that? Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Now stop and ask yourself something. How is God going to demonstrate his power? He wants to demonstrate it through you. God wants to demonstrate his power through you. How's it done? Prayer. Submission. Prayer. Bring your will in accordance with his will. You say, that sounds so simple. The cross wasn't simple. And that's what it took to get us there. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Do you understand that you have access to the creative power of the universe? That's power. You have access as a child. You're in the family. You're in the family of God. And you don't have to make it a big thing. You'd be surprised how much praying I do just sitting. Just sitting. Yes, I hit my knees. Yes, I walk and I talk. But a lot of time I just sit and talk to Him. And I mention people to Him. And I mention nations to Him. And I mention things to Him. I intercede. I intercede on behalf of others. Nations, the whole thing. You can do the same thing. Look, you're a child of God. You've been adopted into the family of God. You have access to the throne of God. And I'm telling you right now, you're putting up with a lot you don't have to put up with. You can get the victory. You can see God move. You can see God move. When you read of the moves of God in the nations of the world, when the church got together and prayed, just prayed, and then sit back and watch God work, you can do the same thing. Right now, say to yourself, I am a believer priest. I am commissioned by God. I'm appointed by God. I'm anointed by God. I am a believer priest. You see, as a believer priest, you have access to the throne of God. As a believer priest, you can affect things halfway around the world. I've prayed for people I'll never meet this side of glory. But I read about them. I saw something going on in their life halfway around the world. And I paused a moment and prayed for them. You can do the same thing. Verse 20. Which He worked in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. They took Him down from the cross. A lifeless corpse. Bruised. Battered, whipped, beaten, indescribable. They took Him down off the cross, laid Him in a tomb, and they thought, it's all over. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Jesus went to death. Do you understand on the cross? Now I'm going to wrap this up here. You can't handle much of this. On that cross, as I've told you so many times, Christ became everything God hates. On the cross, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the Son of God, became everything that God hates. He became the sodomite, the adulterer, the liar, the thief. He became everything that God hates. Which is why, as I've told you how many times, He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in time and eternity, there was no communion between God the Son and God the Father. Because God the Father could not look on God the Son because God the Son had all of my sin on Him. My sin alone was enough to send Him to the cross. And you take all the corporate sins in this room this morning. You take all the corporate sins of just those of us in this room this morning. That would have put Him to death. He took the whole world of everyone who would ever believe, of everyone who would believe. He took every sin of every description of every kind on Himself. He reached back, and I've said this 10,000 times, He went back in eternity past and pulled all the sins that had been put to death sacrificially in those animals to Himself. He reached into the future, He pulled all the sins in the future to Himself. Then He put those sins to death in Himself. When He died, those sins were put to death. When you confess a sin, it's put to death in Christ Jesus. Put to death. Ephesians 1:20. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him. That's where Jesus is now. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father. You have access to God the Father through Christ the Son. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's your position as a believer. You are in Christ Jesus. As a believer in Christ Jesus, you have power. You have access to that power through obedience. You have access to the power of God through obedience, through prayer. This may stretch you a little bit, but it's truth. Power exercised in prayer. That's where you exercise up the power, in prayer. Prayer power, prayer power, prayer power. One time when I was in the deliverance session, and a couple that worked with me that time, we were dealing with a lady from another church here in town. They'd called and asked us to deal with her. And I'm letting them work with her. And I'm sitting over there praying quietly, not saying a word out loud. In my mind, in my spirit, I'm praying. And she, the girl, the woman, she was 20, 21 years old. They were trying to set free. She looked at me and says, "Stop that. Stop praying. It hurts." I said, "Oh, really?" And about 10 minutes later, she was set free. She was set. But see, she felt the prayer power. I'm sitting there not saying a word. I'm just sitting there praying. And Ray and his wife were working with her, trying to get her free from the demonic invasion in her life. And I'm sitting there praying silently. And she screams at me, letting me know that my prayer power was hurting her. It was painful to her. You've got power, folks. I want you to go into the new year with the understanding that you can affect things in D.C. You can affect things in the United Nations. You can affect things in the nations of the world. And you may pray a thing and not see it till you get to glory. But you have access. Access to the authority. Access to the power. In the lives of cities, nations, individuals. So you have to understand that you have access to the power through obedience. And that power is exercised primarily through prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. That's basically the way the power is exercised. 122. Now, listen to me. I'm talking about you now. The Word of God is speaking to you. And He put all things. How many things? All things. He put all things under His feet and gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And everything has been put under His feet. He has conquered everything out of hell. He's conquered everything coming against you. You just got to receive His victory in that. Verse 23, our last verse, which is His body. Now let's go back again. He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. You're part of the church. You're part of the church. You're part of the body of Christ. And He's put everything underneath the feet of the church. As a believer priest, you have access to the power and the authority of God Almighty. How is it exercised? Through prayer. Submission, surrender, through prayer. Intercessory prayer. You've got a lot more clout than you realize you've got. You have access to the creative power of the universe. And it's exercised primarily in the prayer closet. Go to your prayer closet. Get quiet before the Lord. Pray about situations, circumstances, people, events, nations, the whole thing. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're a soldier of the cross. Get in the battle. Father God, I hope that in some way you can take this message and encourage and strengthen your people to believe who they are, understand who they are, and live out who they are under your leadership and your lordship. And Father, help every person on the sound of my voice understand they have access to your throne. They have access to your power. They have access to your authority because you have invested your power, your authority in believers. And those who are believers have the access. Help us to better understand that and to practice that going forward into the new year. I ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, what are your questions? No question? That clear, huh? All right, turn to somebody and say, I think I'll go home now.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And before we sign off today, let me ask you this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, Why don't you just take a moment and say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven, my past forgotten. And so I'm asking you, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. And let me remind you before we close today that our contrite prayer this coming Sunday evening, our contrite prayer for the month of January. So go to our website, challengeministries.com, click on Listen at the top of the page, then drop down and click on 24/7 Streaming. At 10 minutes to 7, I'll start playing music as you prepare your heart to pray. Then at exactly 7 p.m., I'll announce the first item for prayer, give you some 7 to 8 minutes to pray that item of prayer while I play music softly in the background. Then I will close that item of prayer out with prayer, announce the next item for prayer, and in 50 minutes, we'll cover 5 major issues facing our nation today, and we'll take the last 10 minutes of that 1 hour together, and we'll pray for you, your concerns, your burdens, and your problems. That's this Sunday evening, January the 5th. Why don't you plan right now to join myself and countless others as we go before the throne of God in intercessory prayer on behalf of the kingdom of God and this nation. Again, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge, and until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.